Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true. And of course, to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation. And the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Finally, some clarity. This is Wretched Radio, courtesy of Tucker Carlson, who perhaps is the first fellow, for as long as I've been in evangelicalism, has been asking questions about our relationship as Christians with the nation of Israel. And as we've seen, there's been some rather, contentious moments, some debate. Hey, are we supposed to be supporting this state of Israel? They're not the Jews of the Old Testament. Why are we doing what we're doing? Should we be involved militarily? Do we really get blessed for blessing Israel? And Tucker's been asking those questions. I don't know if he's been looking for answers in all the right places. I hold in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers clarity. I don't know if you're familiar with Michael J. Vlach, V-L-A-C-H. He currently is a professor of theology at Shepherd's Theological Sem in Cary, North Carolina. I believe Michael used to be at Master's Seminary, moved to South Carolina, which I don't mind saying was a very good move. South Carolina's beautiful. And he wrote a lengthy, well, it's shorter than his book, but he wrote a lengthy treatise titled Modern Israel and Israel in the Bible, clarifying the relationship. Is this light sledding? No, but it's a heavy subject and it demands a little bit more than just a tweet. His book, which is a fuller treatment, is Israel in the Bible's Storyline. I am going to share a lot of this. This is one of those rare articles where pretty much everything gets marked up. Yep, that's good. Yep, that's good. This is going to take a little bit of effort. But I'm going to read, I'll try to keep my commentary at a minimum, but I'm going to share this article with you because it is the first treatment of the subject that was thorough and detailed enough to go, okay, we don't have every single question resolved as to what should we be doing today with Israel, because that's a relationship that's alive. And it changes on a daily basis. But it gives us, I think, a clear biblical picture of God's attitude toward Israel and where Israel is at in God's redemptive plan. And by the time it's done, at the very least, you're going to be able to go, okay, I got it. I think that this is the right way to view modern day Israel. I suspect, I could be wrong. Michael might be a dispensationalist. I suspect that. But this doesn't come across as a dispensational treatment. Nor does it come across as a covenantal treatment. It just deals with what the Bible says. What are the big passages about Israel? And yeah, Genesis 12, 15, 17. Yeah, they're part of, but there are other verses that are bigger and more helpful. And so, courtesy of Michael Vlach, thank you, sir. I'm going to plagiarize. I mean, use a lot of his material. Hey, it's not plagiarism if I tell you. I'm sharing it because it's really good. He's going to take some time to study the relationship between Israel in the Bible and Israel today. How do we treat this nation? His argument, so he's not going to sneak up on you. Here's his position. Israel as a people and nation always remains significant in God's purposes. I think everybody should agree with that. I think even Tucker Carlson should agree with that. But Vlach goes on to make his point even more specific, just where he's at on it so that you know where the guy's coming from. He believes that Israel remains significant in God's purposes and today's Jewish state, though currently in unbelief, remains closely connected to the Israel described in Scripture. There it is. Now, you might not agree with that. Fair enough. Hang on for the ride. By the time Michael is done, I think you will have plenty to chew on to reconsider your position. And he's going to make it crystal clear. Does this mean that we support every military or political decision? Obviously not. Israel is a pro-abortion nation. Of course, we don't support that. But that doesn't mean that the zip code known as Israel, currently occupied by Jewish people, doesn't have any sort of biblical relationship to the Israel of the Bible. So let's jump in, shall we? To understand the relationship between Old Testament Israel and modern state, you got to understand what Israel means. What is it? What is Israel? I know it seems like, duh, but we all kind of understand it, we think. But what does the Bible say about Israel? In Scripture, it's an ethnic, national, and territorial people. Ethnic, national, and territorial. It's described as a great nation promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. So first, the ethnic aspect of it, the nation descends from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The tribes of Israel with an identifiable lineage. Jacob's name in Genesis 32 was changed to Israel. So Israelites were the physical descendants of Jacob, who is named Israel by God himself. So the promises to Abraham and his descendants assume the existence of a real people tied together by ancestry. And thanks to Ancestry.com, we can actually do that today. Yet, Israel was never completely closed to outsiders. So they could be proselytes. They would come in and attach themselves to Israel and to Israel's God. Think Ruth, for instance. Second, it's a national entity. Israel became a nation with law and leadership, corporate responsibility before God. This is the Mosaic Covenant at Mount Sinai. It was not merely a collection of people who got together who had some religious beliefs. It was a people with a shared history, language, worship, patterns of life, own laws, festivals, institutions, collective memory that distinguished it from surrounding peoples. So that's the national identity aspect. And this is important because you got to ask yourself the question, well, then what about the people today? And what do we do when we look at it and it's like, well, they don't really believe anything in the Mosaic Covenant for the most part. Vlach will tackle that for us. But third, to understand what Israel is, it's linked with a territory. That's Genesis 15. God told Abraham, I'm going to give you that land. And it's going to be a part of the Abrahamic covenant, which continues forever. There is no inkling of any suggestion in the Bible that says that the Abrahamic covenant is no longer in place. It is a forever covenant. So God's choice of Israel was corporate in purpose, didn't depend on personal salvation or faithfulness of every Israelite of every generation in its history. Israel was chosen to serve specific historical and international purposes in God's plan. That's already instructive, and he's going to spend more time on, well, what do we do with modern day Jews that don't believe in Messiah? They don't even believe in the Mosaic Covenant. They're just culturally Jewish. Vlach's point is that was always the case. Not every Jew. We have a tendency to think, well, all the Jews in the Old Testament were believing Jews. I can tell you for a fact they weren't, because first of all, Paul says not everybody who is born of Abraham is Abraham's seed. Furthermore, didn't Jesus call them out on that? And didn't, even in Jesus' time, didn't the Pharisees have a name for non-practicing Jews? They did, and it was a nasty, pejorative, sinners. They were considered sinners because they were wayward from the Jewish faith, and yet they were still considered Jewish. Why? Because they were a part of that land, they were a part of that ethnicity, and they had that same identity with the same lineage. And so now we're going to ask the question eventually, well, what about the people of today? Do they share all of those things? We'll get to that in just a moment. Another important feature of Israel is that the nation is transgenerational. It's not just one generation living at a particular time. It was God's land, his choice of a people for all generations. So it has a continuing national identity that Scripture speaks of as a people whose identity extends across time. So I think we could agree on this. At the very least, if for Tucker Carlson's sake, for instance, what do we do with the existence of the Jewish people? Do we act like they're, I don't know, pick a nationality. They're Japanese, like it's just like a Japan. That's it. So when it comes to Japan, it just has nothing to do with the Bible. Well, you can hardly say that. Furthermore, the reestablishment of the nation of Israel, while not an end time sign necessarily, you've got to ask yourself the question, how is it that they are now reoccupying that land 2,000 years after they were dispersed from it? You can't say there was nothing. Let me take you to Matthew chapter 23. Jesus laments over Jerusalem and says, "You will not see me again. Blessed is he who comes in the until you hear. Blessed is he who come in the name of the Lord." So he's addressing the generation before him while pointing to a future generation of Israel that will welcome him. It assumes that the nation continues across time. Furthermore, you've got the Abrahamic covenant. The point being, as long as the created order remains, Israel remains a nation before God. And you can point to, for instance, Jeremiah chapter 33, "If my covenant for day and night stand out and the fixed patterns of heaven and earth I have not established, then I would reject the descendants of Jacob and David my servant, but I will restore their fortunes and will have mercy on them." In other words, God is not done with the nation of Israel. That brings some clarity, but not total. We'll seek to accomplish that next on Wretched Radio.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and here's why. The culture we live in right now has made it pretty clear it has very little interest in the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're being told to keep our faith quiet in public or to soften what we believe so it goes down easier. Fortis Institute has no intention of doing either one. We exist to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this spring, we're doing it as loudly and as boldly as we know how. Your gift will help launch two new podcasts. It puts Todd Friel's new book, Go Serve Your King, into print through HarperCollins, and it puts the gospel back onto college campuses where it's least welcome and most needed. Our goal is $250,000, and we're asking if you would prayerfully consider helping us get there. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, finding Bible teachers you can actually trust, it's not as easy as it used to be. There is a lot of content out there, but not all of it's faithful. That's what Fortis Institute is building. We've brought together a team of fellows, people like Tim Challies, Dr. Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. Greg Gifford, Pastor Brad Bigney, Todd Friel, Dr. John Krotz, Libby Clawson, Dr. Adam Tyson, and they're all committed to teaching the word without apology. These aren't influencers. They're not chasing trends. These are serious teachers doing serious work. And the reason that we've been able to bring voices like this together in one place is because of our gospel partners, men and women just like you who find value in what we're doing at Fortis Institute. And if you appreciate what we're doing and you want to be a part of it, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Help us to continue building something that matters. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Rome lived from AD 30 to 100, was a student of the Apostle Peter, and served as the Bishop of Rome. He wrote a letter to the troubled church in Corinth, warning against envy and immorality, emphasizing humility and repentance. His letter continued to be read during worship services for 80 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, you don't have to yell at me, Jimmy. It's okay. This is Wretched Radio. You're shouting at me on the TV. You're yelling at me in writing. This is what my TV monitor says, where I can see Jimmy's mush. No retreat, spring match. Say it, dot, dot, or else. That's hostile. That is a hostile work environment. And I am going to be talking to HR very, very soon. And you can expect a strongly worded reprimand, young man.
I didn't say what the or else is.
That's fair enough. I will mention it, however, because it's so important right now. We've got a matching gift campaign, which is awesome. Thank you to the people who have participated already. If you have not, please consider doing so. We just want to do more and more, and we want to give it all away. That's all. We just want more and more people to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you have discretionary income because you're already supporting your local church, please, would you visit fortisinstitute.org/donate? You can see what we're up to, what the plans are, the big plans that we have so that we can just reach more people with great news. FortisInstitute.org/donate. But Jimmy didn't yell at me simply in writing. During the break, you informed me that Michael Flock, and you know, when you said it, it's like, yeah, I think I remember that. He is a
dispensationalist.
Like big time.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. He's written books on it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But this article, I'm telling you, this article, I don't think that anybody who's a covenantalist would find anything that was like, oh, he's just bending dispensational. I thought it was just a very fair treatment of what we do with modern day Israel in light of Old Testament Israel. What is God doing with that nation, if anything? And he answers that with a lengthy treatment. This is long, I grant you. And by the way, if you are only getting the 30-minute broadcast on your station, super sorry. We're going to try to cover all of this, and it's going to take a bit because it's a big subject. You can hear the whole thing at fortisplus.org if you would like to. Michael walks through how the Bible treats Israel, and the bigger verses are not just in the Abrahamic covenant. Those are the ones that get bandied around, and so we debate the question, well, do we get blessed if we bless Israel? And as it states in Genesis chapter 12, we got to look at the rest of the Bible to understand that and to sort it. And for the most part, I think he helps us to accomplish some clarity. Let me share with you a lot from this particular article. Israel transcends any particular generation. The nation may experience exile, dispersion across the world, and may even become few in number among the nations. That would be your Deuteronomy 4:27, Rexella, but it remains the same covenant people in God's purposes. I know. There's like, well, what about the church? Hang in there. He doesn't even deal with that, quite honestly. What do we? A little bit, but not a ton. He's simply focusing on God's promises to Israel and how the Bible talks about Israel. And his point is, Israel wasn't just back then. It's for, and there's going to be something that happens. Tucker, you can't deny it. There is a plan for Israel. And so now we just need to sort out, how do we view them in between their rejection of the Messiah, which ushered in the age of the Gentiles, to when this future plan unfolds, whatever you think the details and the timeline is on that. And also because of God's covenant with Abraham, Israel is a people whose national existence continues throughout history. Even if it's removed from the land, it's still treated as having an ongoing relationship to it. Consider the dispersion. They're in Assyria. They've been taken away. But does God call them not his people? No, they're not living in the land. Still his people. They're not. The reason that they got dispersed is because they weren't obeying his covenant. Still called him his people. So you had a bunch of unbelievers in Israel who got swept away to a different territory and yet were still considered Israel. Furthermore, Jeremiah 16 promises the Lord will bring Israel back to their own land, which I gave to their fathers. So so the land was given way back then. He's going to return this current generation back to the land, not today, but back in Jeremiah's day, back to the land. In other words, there's a continuity between Abraham and the children of Israel, all the way with Moses throughout the period of the judges, kings. It's still their land, even when they were dispersed. Jesus indicated Gentile domination of Jerusalem would have ultimately a limit. The city would be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And what is it? It's about God's plan that will one day have a different and better situation for Jerusalem. In other words, the Bible throughout Old and New Testament talks about Israel in continuity, that it never disappeared. It never stopped being a nation, even when they weren't in the land. He talks about the remnant within Israel, that even though the Bible affirms Israel's identity as a nation, it recognizes that the nation isn't a faithful remnant that truly trusts the Lord. I think that was one of Tucker's concerns. And these people, they don't even act Jewish, right? And they didn't in the Old Testament either. They weren't acting Jewish, if you will, when Jesus arrived. And so they don't have to be, if you will, acting Jewish today in order to still be considered Israel, even when they're not in the zip code. And so from Romans chapter 11, all of the other passages in Romans chapter 2, really 9 through 11, highlight the spiritual dimension of belonging to God's people while preserving the larger national identity of Israel in Scripture. In other words, it's not a versus, it's a plus. There are people who are, all of the people are considered Jewish, even if they aren't practicing the religion. The New Testament continues to treat Israel as a recognizable national entity within God's unfolding plan. So here's an example. Jesus promised the apostles would sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, hold on a second. 12 tribes of Israel? Who are those people? Well, God clearly sees Israel as Israel even until Revelation. Peter spoke of future restoration connected to Israel's repentance. And Paul said he stood trial for the hope of the 12 tribes, that's Acts 26, and anticipated the future salvation of all Israel in Romans chapter 11. Now, so far, we haven't answered all the questions. I think we're going to get to that. But so far, if you're listening, Tucker, national Israel has always been national Israel and will forever be national Israel, even when they are not meeting the standard of the Mosaic covenant or participation as Jews, or even necessarily speaking the language. God in the Bible makes it clear. Now, let's talk about the covenantal pattern for Israel's history. So you got big sections, Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28 through 30, Deuteronomy 32, Ezekiel 20, Romans 11. He calls them the interpretive anchors. Those are the big verses you got to look at. The easy stuff is the Genesis business. But if you want clarity as far as God's covenantal relationship with the Jewish people and what it looks like today, well, you've got to look at these other verses. If you neglect them, you're going to come up with just not a very full understanding. And so for somebody like Tucker, who's scratching his head and going, what am I supposed to do with this? Because it doesn't seem like, and they're scattered all over, and you've got different types of Jews. You've got to go to the Bible and you've got to read these anchor verses. And when you study those texts, something emerges. They predict Israel's rebellion. They predict Israel's discipline, the scattering among the nations. And not a single verse suggests that the exile results in the dissolution of Israel as a people, or the permanent loss of their national identity and role in God's purposes. What do we do with Israel? Number one, we recognize it's Israel. We do have to answer more questions, but I think that we have established this. I think, courtesy of Michael Vlock, that the Bible does not suggest God's relationship with Israel is done. No verse indicates Israel will transition into a purely spiritual community disconnected from the nation itself. Instead, the same passages that warn of judgment always promised for Israel repentance, regathering, and restoration. So the covenantal pattern assumes Israel's continued existence as a people whom God will ultimately restore. And you can see that in Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28 through 30. Obedience would bring blessing in the land. It would persist in disobedience, would bring discipline and exile. That's Deuteronomy 28 through 30. Dispersion among the nations would not be the final chapter. Fourth, God promises restoration always for Israel. And later prophets reaffirmed the same covenant structure in Ezekiel 20. So you put all of those passages together. So the covenantal pattern governing Israel's history, blessing, discipline in exile, dispersion, future restoration with regathering and spiritual transformation. It unfolds in that structure, which the New Testament then affirms in passages like Romans 11. And that brings us to the modern day state. What exactly does that look like? Sorry if you're only getting the 30-minute broadcast. You can hear the entire treatment at FortisPlus.org. This is Wretched Radio.